I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team.
Brown with a steal. Ahead of the pack. Throws it down. Christian Brown. 10 points off the bench. Caldwell Pope tries a three. It's good. Contavious Caldwell Pope. The lead back to seven. Gordon drives and finishes. Aaron Gordon. Porter a three. Puts it in. Jokic double. Pass inside to Green. Shot clock at two. Murray. Oh, Jamal Murray from downtown. Shot clock winding down. Jokic has to put it up. High on the three. Oh, he knocks it down.
Basketball poetry.
At last, the long wait is over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions.
So, you know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all. And in the darkness, find them.
Angel, it's like you're getting to know me, man. You mix in all of the best things. Nuggets and Lord of the Rings. I mean, that is the complete package there. Denver Nuggets tonight, season opener, going up against the Los Angeles Lakers, raising the banner, ring ceremony. Oh, dude, 5:30. Cannot wait. Absolutely excited about this. A lot to get into. Nuggets, Lakers. Nuggets are now 5-point favorites. So money's coming in on the Nuggets tonight. I got a lot of questions. So I put this up for our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Biggest question surrounding the Nuggets as they begin their title defense. Now, I want this to open up. You guys bring in your questions. I just put my top three. Who replaces Bruce Brown's production? Can Jamal Murray become an all-star? Can MPJ become a complete player? Those are my three. And then I put other, which you guys are doing well today. Not a lot. Normally, if I put other, hooligans just want to create. They just like chaos, so they'll click other because the answers I provided aren't good enough for them. But you guys are doing good. Only 5% other. Angel, biggest question in your mind right now. Biggest thing that you're worried about, you're wondering about, thinking of how the Nuggets can repeat as NBA champs.
Well, the first thing I was thinking about was what's the ring going to look like? But in
it'll
terms
be big
of basketball,
and shiny.
How does this team get better?
Give me a specific.
They were historically dominant in the playoffs. Can they take that effort on the offensive side and the defensive side and make it just be who they are and not have to wait for the playoffs to turn it on and just be that good of a team all the time?
Give me a specific on the roster. Okay, so let me say this. If you're saying, can they be better than what they were last year? Well, one of those key pieces is gone in Bruce Brown. So that's why one of my top questions is who replaces his production? Because I don't think, as Malone said, it's just going to be a plug-and-play Christian. Because Christian Brown's still got to be Christian Brown. He was solid for this team. Who replaces Bruce? Because Christian can't be Christian Brown and Bruce Brown. Who's the guy that, whether Christian replaces Brown's production, well, who replaces Christian's production then? So give me a specific on this roster. You don't have like one where you're like,
I have questions about all of them, but one question. It's just the overall, how does this team handle the success and the target on their backs? And like Malone's been saying it, they're going to be a target 82 games of the year, and that's a lot. And you know, it's easy just to say, of course, they're the champs. Everyone's going to want to beat the champs, but it's carrying that mentality every single day and carrying that confidence while also balancing the hunger to go get another championship.
You're giving me a coach speak. You're giving me coach speak.
I'm very curious about the mindset of this team. I'm comfortable with all these guys right now. I want to know where their heads are at.
Who are you least comfortable with? I'm going to get this out of you.
The rookies, just because.
Who are you least comfortable with on the starting lineup?
KCP.
Okay. There
what,
it is.
What kind of role is he playing this year?
There
is
you go.
Is he just a role guy?
Yeah.
Is he want to step up more? Does he take a more veteran approach? What's KCP doing?
I like that. Well, I think for you, MPJ has to have a really good season.
Well,
because
everyone's asking about MPJ. And
but you said yesterday on this show that you would be fine if MPJ was gone and Luka Doncic was
here. In like 2-3 years, not in the next 2 months. Mm. Already looking for trade partners for this guy.
Who is?
Everyone.
I haven't seen anybody looking for a trade partner.
A lot of it.
Who?
It's like, oh, Jokic is great. Jamal is awesome. We love him. Aaron, oh, he's just the best guy ever. And then, oh, yeah, there's Mike.
Because like, he didn't score in the playoffs.
He did.
Not
he
that
didn't
much.
Score 40 points a game.
He didn't score 30 points a game. He didn't score 20 points a game. So, yeah, there are realistic. You should be absolutely looking at the future of MPJ. It's not a negative thing.
Sure. I'm
you're
not saying,
saying
it is.
You're saying, how can the Nuggets be better than last year? I will tell you, Michael Porter Jr. has to be a lethal scorer from A to Z. That is how they'll be better. They'll also be better if somebody on the bench outside of Christian Brown is good. That's the second way. So, realistically, Michael Porter Jr. was not the Michael Porter Jr. they signed. That was not the version we saw in the playoffs last year. We saw a guy that knew they were better off in the stretch with Bruce Brown, who even said as much to his coach. That's what I want to see. Can he become a complete player? And that means continuing to score at a high clip, but also bringing a defensive effort that can change games. And then rebounding, all the extra stuff. That's what I want to see. So if you're, you know, how can they be a better team than they were last year when replacing a guy like Bruce Brown? Well, I am not even 1% concerned about Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic will play like an MVP. He will go off tonight. He'll tease a triple-double. I have zero concern about him. Jamal Murray probably goes off tonight. It's opening night. It's TNT. Raising the banner, getting the rings. Jamal Murray probably goes off. A couple days later, he's probably going to be like a 16-17 guy. I hope I'm wrong. But I know what I'm going to get there. I know what I'm going to get with Aaron Gordon. I don't know necessarily what I'm going to get with MPJ. And you want a championship going in with that, not knowing what you're going to get with MPJ, but you also had a Bruce Brown who stepped up his game to an elite level in the playoffs. Bruce was not a monster player throughout the regular season. He was a very good defensive player, but it was in the playoffs where he really started to shine. So I don't think it's like this, get Michael Porter Jr. out of here. Every year you go into a season, whether you're looking at the Avs, the Nuggets, the Broncos, the Rockies, these college teams we talk about, you look at star players and say, can you be this guy? Can you Nikola Jokic has already proved that. And I think Jamal in the playoffs, you play like that, you will be an all-star. And you're going to get a lot of money. But I want to see, you know, MPJ says he's working on ball handling and all these other things. That's a realistic thing. So I don't think it's like this negative, oh, everybody wants MPJ gone. No, it's real. He is not playing up to his contract. I want to see that. Now, if you go win a title and he can just be, yeah, I got 6 boards, I got 17 points. Sure, if you could do it again. But your first question was, can they be better than last year? And I think in order for them to be better than last year, one of your starters has to raise his game. And I think it's on Michael Porter Jr. And I don't think that's like this, everybody hates him. This is realistic. This is sports talk. This is what we do. That's one of the guys I'm watching. Can Jamal Murray prove me wrong and not be really good for 5 games, go away for 2 or 3, and then really good again for 5, 4, whatever? Can he be consistent? Because he won't be an all-star if he's inconsistent. If he's a 17 to 20-point guy, that's not an all-star. If he waits to do that 25 to 30 in the playoffs, great. The all-star game's well over at that point. So I will be really interested to see how some of these things pan out. My biggest question is, I think the obvious is who replaces Bruce Brown's production. That's the obvious one. But then I am looking at MPJ. He has been under the microscope for the last 3 to 4 years. Because we know what he's capable of. There are certain nights he can score 9 points in 30 seconds. I've seen it. He's got this athletic ability that can be unmatched, but how can he use that? When the shot's not working, can he consistently just get to the rim? That's what you see with the best players in this league. And that's part of being a complete player. So go vote at theholeshow.com or on our socials. Find The Whole Show on Facebook or Twitter, and you can write in your own. What is your biggest question? Give me something. Give me something on this roster that is burning in your brain. In order for the Nuggets to repeat as champs, this guy has to do what? I don't necessarily need a number on it. Angel's saying he wants to see if KCP can be a bigger contributor. All right, yeah. KCP's the forgotten man of the starting five. He's the odd man out, but still made some great plays when it counted. But I heard on the morning show, on Good Morning NoCo, the guys were talking about the Colorado Avalanche, and it feels like they're an all-star team because everybody on the roster is good. And that's where I think you want the Nuggets to be, where everybody on the roster, at least, you know, 4 or 5 guys where you can easily in your brain make a case for them going becoming an all-star. Because you have guys that are capable of that. Nikola Jokic, obviously. Go ahead and write him in for another all-star appearance. Aaron Gordon was the closest outside of Joker. Jamal and MPJ have that ability. They have the ability to be all-stars. Michael Porter Jr., that's a goal of his. He said that at Media Day a couple of weeks ago. He said that's how they stay motivated. There's a lot of us on this roster that haven't achieved those kind of goals. Joker's been an MVP. He's an all-star. He's got all these accolades. None of us have done that kind of stuff. Nothing close. So that's how you keep these guys motivated. That's my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. I'm going to go Kirk Cousins last night. That's my good. The Vikings win. Kirk Cousins, 378 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. 107.2 rating. All without his star guy, his star. Did you see Jordan Addison's freaking rip-away touchdown? When he just rips the interception away from a 49ers defender and takes off. 7 receptions for 123 yards for him, but he had a 60-yarder to end the half, essentially. Also, TJ Hawkinson goes along with Angel's conspiracy theory that because it was tight end day on Sunday, that's carrying over. Another tight end had a monster game, 11 receptions for 86 yards. That's what I think Minnesota can be. Are you worried about San Francisco at all? That's going to be my bad, is San Francisco. And honestly, it's Brock Purdy, 272 yards and a touchdown, but 2 interceptions. He was 21 of 30. San Francisco's now 5-2. They've lost 2 in a row. They were the kings of the regular season. But now they've lost 2 in a row. I'll be very curious to see how they respond. The ugly for me, I'll just say the TNT graphic. Charles Barkley was on a prominent Denver station talking about how he's basically apologizing for their production crew for putting that together, where you're promoting all the games today and tonight, and you don't have Nikola Jokic on the cover of that. It's probably just going to always be that way. But at least, like, this is why I do love the TNT crew, with Ernie, with Shaq, with Charles, and Kenny. I think they are realistic in how they go about this. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Sean Payton, it's not his hump. We'll talk about that. Also, UNC Bears assistant basketball coach, former Colorado State Ram superstar, Dorian Green is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. We have the Jack Howell Show coming up at noon. And then we'll talk to Mike Brohard, and then we'll piece this Nuggets-Lakers game together. Do you like the Nuggets starting the season off at 1-0, and how disappointed would you be if they do 82 games? There's no such thing as a must win in the NBA until there actually, factually, is a must win. But how disappointed would you be if the Nuggets lose on ring ceremony night? So we'll talk about that. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
High school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, so yesterday and Sunday, really, Sean Payton, after the Broncos win, was salty. He was irritated. He talked about driving around a sushi restaurant and, why can't I be happy? We just won. Maybe you're not happy. Maybe you didn't want to win that game because you were on record talking about Caleb Williams and just how good he was going to be. Conspiracy theory for you. Here's what I didn't like. The Broncos leading up to that game had 10 games where they had a halftime lead and they lost. 10 times the Broncos have had that when it came to losses. And that was a terrible stat to have. Sean Payton was solely responsible. Well, solely. He was responsible as head coach for three of those. Troy Rank, very good reporter, asked Sean Payton what it was like to get over that hump. What did it mean to get over that, to break that streak of 10 games where you're up at halftime and then blowing the lead? Here's what Sean Payton had to say.
This team, Coach, had a weird stat where they had blown 10 halftime leads. Only three of those, your team, the Broncos, that had 10 straight halftime leads blown.
Well, my team three hasn't this blown year. 10 straight.
Right, three this year, but how much does
it
mean?
You said your team. Broncos, historically. I don't pay attention to that.
Had blown that?
I don't pay attention
How much
to that.
Does it mean?
I don't pay attention to it.
To see you get over the hump in the second half.
It wasn't our hump. It wasn't our hump. I'm saying that respectfully. It wasn't our hump. We're trying to win. Pat mentioned it to me, and I thought it was one of these, like, all right, what next? I mean, meaning in New Orleans, you know, we hadn't won a playoff game on the road. Or, you know, all the – it's like, you know, the good teams don't have those issues. The teams that aren't as good have halftime, whatever. But that's not – your team would not be the right word for it. So with anything else?
Sean can't get over the hump. Oh, he did get over the hump, but it wasn't his hump to get over. Have you ever heard a coach be so dismissive of a team's history, both good or bad? I mean, I had Jay Norvell on last week, and I asked him about what it was like to beat Boise State. CSU had never done that before. Now, obviously, last year was Jay Norvell's first season with CSU. So he was only a part, and I don't know what his actual record, I don't have it on hand, what his actual record is against Boise State. But he lost only one time as a CSU coach to Boise State. He could have easily said, that wasn't my hump to get over. I wasn't a part of all those losses. But that sounds awful. When you become the head coach of a program, you're now a part of it. It's not to say you're bad and you're responsible for all those losses, but you are now a part of this team's history, and you have been tasked with winning games. That means breaking nasty streaks, like 10 games where you're up at the half and you lose. I just think that could have been handled so much better. It could have quickly been those are always tough. Those are tough things to get over. Yeah, obviously I wasn't here for all of those, but I played my part. He had three of them. And then saying it wasn't our hump and don't say your team. I mean, dude, when you are a Denver Broncos coach, you should be immersed in all of that stuff. You should, and if you don't know the stat, fine. If someone brings it to you, I don't think it has to be met with all this vitriol and all this negative. It's infuriating to me that Sean Payton continues to act like this, almost like a spoiled brat. You took the job as the Broncos head coach. It is now your job to beat the Chiefs. And that is part of the Broncos history, is losing 16 games in a row to the Kansas City Chiefs. You're a part of that now. You've only lost one, but you're now tasked with beating the Chiefs and getting over that hump. But if they do beat the Chiefs and somebody, Troy Rank, who's a well-respected guy, asks Sean Payton, what did it mean for you guys to finally beat the Chiefs? What do you mean, you guys? We only lost once. Like, come on. Own even the bad history. You're now the head coach of the Broncos. You're responsible for getting them through tough times and tough streaks. Dorian Green coming up next. UNC basketball assistant coach, former Colorado State Ram superstar. Love talking to Dorian. We're going to catch up with him next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Just 33 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Pumped to have this next guest, Dorian Green, assistant basketball coach for the UNC Bears, of course, was an absolute stud during his time at Colorado State. Dorian, my man, I love catching up with you. It's always a little surreal for me when I'm talking to you in person and stuff, because I remember watching you so closely when you played for CSU. You were such a great player. So we love getting you on the show, my friend.
What's going on, Brady, man? I appreciate you guys having me on. Excited to hang out for a little bit today.
Absolutely, man. I mean, season's right around the corner. You got an exhibition game coming up against Midland on Friday. So I know you guys, you know, you're ready to get going. You know, enough practice, enough of, you know, scrimmages and all that kind of stuff. You're just ready to see what this team looks like.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, our guys are at the point now where, you know, you're ready to play somebody else. And obviously, as coaches, we are too. So I'm excited, man. We really like this group. It's been a fun group. You know, we've got a lot of new faces, and we got, I think it is 8 returners and 7 new guys. So for us, you know, early in the year, it's just kind of, you know, a snapshot to kind of see where we're at and kind of what we're picking up and some stuff we need to clean up. So I'm excited to get out there and play somebody else and open up the season.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting for you guys. Obviously, we talk about new faces on this team. For the longest time, you had, you know, Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson, and of course, we know what Dalton Connect, what he did last year for you guys. I mean, those are not easy guys to replace, but there's a lot of exciting names on this roster.
For sure. I think, you know, we've got you know, a lot of new guys are going to have to step into some bigger roles. And so we've kind of had the gift of experience and some guys that have been around the program the last couple of years with the guys you mentioned, with Dalen and Matt. And you know, it's just going into the spring, we had to piece it together. And so we hit the portal a little bit more than we've normally have. And so bringing in some guys from some different spots who've had some production at the Division I level, and we're still kind of older. They're just going to be some new faces for the fans. So, yeah, I think for us, it's as a group and as a whole, I think you're going to see a little bit more of a committee approach, which I think is going to be fun. I think these guys have done a great job in terms of just kind of coming together and quickly creating that bond. I mean, it's kind of the new landscape of really college athletics, is that you're going to have a lot of new faces and a lot more turnover than you've had in the past. So I think that's been a little bit of the challenge, but our guys have done a great job of coming together and just getting to know each other and building that camaraderie.
Yeah, and that's part of this job that I just think is so interesting now, especially these last few years, is the turnover side of things, is, you know, NIL, transfer portal. It's wild for us to be able to track, but for you, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, because it just seems like now more than ever, the work really is never done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the spring's a little bit different than it used to be. And, you know, you throw in the COVID year as well. You know, you've got guys like Connor Creech and Jalen Page, who somehow they still have 2 more years of eligibility after this year. And they've been around, you know, I think Jalen's going to graduate in the spring. So it's been a little goofy, a little funky the last couple of years. But, you know, you just got to adjust to it and adapt. And so, yeah, it's a new challenge for us as a coaching staff. And it's more about piecing it together and getting the guys to play well together. You know, it's not necessarily as much as what you do, it's how you do it. and getting these guys to come together and get some sort of chemistry and just kind of build that camaraderie, like I was saying. I think that's probably the biggest challenge when you have so many new pieces.
Dorian Green joining us, assistant head coach and director of advanced scouting for the UNC Bears. And it's really no coincidence, man. I mean, you joined this staff a few years ago, teaming up with Steve Smiley. And in that time, Coach, you guys have had some big names that you worked so closely with. Guys like Jonah Radabaugh, who won the Defensive Player of the Year back in, what was that, 19-20 season. Dalen Kuntz, watching him grow up. I mean, I remember when he was he was struggling to get minutes with Colorado, and then he comes to UNC and he becomes a household name. I mean, he's one of the top. He was one of the top scorers in the NCAA, in the Big Sky, for so long. You were one of those guys that worked so closely. What does that mean to you, Coach, when you are able to work with those guys? Obviously, you're scouting them, you're bringing them in, but then the work really begins when you get them to your facility and you can work closely, and you're churning out some phenomenal players.
Yeah, I think, you know, most importantly, it comes down to a testament to the work that those guys have put in, right? The talent that they've been blessed with, and then their commitment and their work ethic, right? I think that's most importantly what it comes down to. I think for us, you know, we take a lot of pride in, as a program and as a staff, just being able to put together development plans for players and being able to take, you know, a little bit more of a patient approach and a long-term approach and just say, hey, we're just going to constantly just keep getting better and better and adding to our game and put in the work. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to those guys really, you know, putting their head down and working. And so, yeah, it's been fun to be around a lot of really talented players and a lot of guys that have really worked their butt off, man. I think that's what it comes down to, is at the end of the day, as a coaching staff, like, we don't play any minutes. We don't take any shots. You know, so it's about kind of creating a structure and a plan for those guys. And at the end of the day, it's about them doing the work.
Friday, we got an exhibition game against Midland. The non-conference schedule for you guys, Coach, is really interesting. We've got, of course, Colorado State on there. You've got some tournament play. Colorado's in the mix. Air Force is in the mix. Denver's in the mix, coming to Bank of Colorado Arena. What is it like for you? I know CSU is coming to UNC, coming to Bank of Colorado Arena this year. But what is that like for you, man, knowing that you are – I mean, ask any basketball fan in this area, say the name Dorian Green, they know all about you, and Rams fans still talk about you so highly to this day. What is that like for you personally, going up against your old team?
Oh, it's brutal, man.
Like, I figured so. I always think about you. Like, last 2 years at CSU, seeing you on court side, you know, with the Bears, it's got to be tough, man. It's got to be difficult.
Yeah, the first time we went to Moby, it was weird, right? You know, sitting on that opposite bench. And then the second time last year, a little bit more used to it. But, yeah, it's a game that, as fun as it is, I'm ready for it to be over. Just from my attachment, my closest to the program. But, you know, it's the one game out of the year that, you know, you got to root against the Rams. And so, but it's fun. I think, you know, you look at our schedule, we have every Division I school in Colorado's on the schedule this year. And so that's pretty cool. And I think that's great for us to be able to play all the local schools, and us having, you know, a handful of Colorado guys on the roster, it's really cool. But, yeah, it's a little weird playing the Rams, but I think it's a great game for us. It's, you know, last 2 years have been really good games. I think they're going to have a really good team this year. And getting them to come back to Greeley and be in the bank for the first time in a while, man, it's going to be a really fun experience for our guys.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys last year, you beat Colorado State. And the year before that was the year Colorado State goes to March Madness, David Roddy doing his thing. And you guys were up big over the Rams. They come roaring back in that game. But for the most part, man, and I think this is great for basketball in the state, when Colorado State and Northern Colorado are competitive against one another, that is great for this state, my friend.
Yeah, I agree. I think those last two games have been awesome, man. It's been really close games. We were fortunate enough to pull it out last year, and then the year before, you know, they kind of made some big plays down the stretch and beat us. So I'm excited for this one. We've got a lot of work to do, man. We've got to clean up some stuff, and, you know, we're still kind of figuring ourselves out as we're going. It's still early in the season for sure. But I think it's going to be another good one. I think it's going to be a fun one, and it's a great challenge for us to get to go play Mountain West team every year. to kind of see where we're at, you know. And at the end of the day, for us, it's about, you know, putting together a really good weekend in March in the conference tournament. So for us, it's just constantly continuing to tighten some things up and to figure out where we need to get better so that we can, you know, put together a good weekend in Boise.
We're talking to assistant head coach and director of advanced scouting, Dorian Green. The Bears start with an exhibition game against Midland coming up this Friday night, October 27th, and then the regular season starts up on November 6th against Colorado College. When you look at this, talk to us about this roster a little bit, Coach, because I think, you know, as we mentioned, those guys last year with Dalen and Matt and Dalton Connect, I mean, you guys, when you were on, you could shoot the lights out of the place, and that was, of course, kind of the MO with this Bears team. What do you see with this group right now? What are some of the strengths that you think that this team's really going to possess as we start this thing off?
Yeah, well, I think every year for us, we always take a lot of pride in being a team that's really skilled and can shoot it. And so, you know, we're really intentional about, you know, putting together a roster that's highly skilled and I'm capable of shooting the ball, right? So you're going to see that again like just about every year. I think for us, you know, the biggest strength that I love about this group is how unselfish they are. And I think the ball movement has been great so far for us all summer and all fall. So I think it's a group that's going to play really, really well together. And it's almost like a sum of the parts kind of team where I think it's going to be a really fun team to watch. They move the ball, they play hard, they compete at a high level. And so I think that's been really fun. I would say right now to date, that's been our biggest strength is just how well that this group has really come together in a short amount of time and how well they're playing together.
Well, it's interesting too, Coach. You talk to some of these players, and I've had the opportunity, the honor to talk to some of these guys, and they echo that. You know, they say, you know, last year we loved those guys. We love a lot of those guys. But this year, you know, we know it's not really going to be about this one player or this guy scoring this many points per game. It is going to be kind of a committee type thing. And man, sometimes those can be dangerous teams to go up against because on any given night, you don't know who's going to go off.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have the potential to be like that. You know, I think we're still kind of carving out some roles and kind of figuring that stuff out as we go on. But yeah, you know, last year our team was built where, you know, we had those three older guys and they had a lot of proven experience of production and we just kind of rode those three horses. And so this year it's a different team. It's a different approach. And but yeah, I think that's going to be really fun. I think that, you know, we've got multiple guys that can do a lot of things. And so our depth is really good. And we've got a bunch of guys that are capable of playing. So I think, yeah, you're right. At any given night, it could be, you know, a handful of guys that are playing well. And I think that's going to be the fun part about this team is that we're not really necessarily relying on any one or two or three people. It's just going to be able to be, like you said, a committee.
A lot of people have asked me about a guy like St. Thomas, you know, and I getting a chance to talk to him a bit and see this guy, you know, in action. What are your thoughts on this dude? Because it sounds like, just from his accolades, what he's done before, it sounds like this guy could be something else. And a lot of Bears fans are starting to talk about this guy. Well, the name is just great, Coach. I mean, St. Thomas, my goodness.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What can you tell us about this guy?
Yeah, Saint's been awesome, man. I think the thing with him is really talented, really skilled, really talented, plays extremely hard and is highly competitive. And so I think, yeah, he's got a chance to have a great year for us. You know, he's kind of like all the guys that can really pass the ball and is capable of making plays not only for himself but for others.
Dorian Green joining us, the assistant head coach and director of advanced scouting. Man, I love being able to catch up with you and talk some Bears basketball. But Coach, you're one of those guys, just so talented. Don't forget about me when you're a head coach, wherever that is. Don't forget about this conversation, okay, my friend?
Hey, I hope that happens, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, we love following this team. I love basketball season. I love, you know, getting a chance to kind of cover it all on this show, whether that's UNC, CU, or CSU. And this is the best for me because I get to see all you guys go up against each other. So I cannot wait for the season to start up. And we just, Coach, we wish you the best of luck coming up this season.
Hey, awesome. Thank you, Brady. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys having me on, man. I'm excited for the year, and it's going to be a fun one.
Let's get it going. Dorian Green, we'll catch up with you very soon. There's the assistant head coach and director of advanced scouting. And those of you that didn't know, I mean, Dorian was amazing with Colorado State. His impact for on CSU hoops was you know, second to none. Even Kevin Lytle noted that in an article he did a few years ago in the Colorado. I remember when that came out. He was doing like his player of the decade, and Dorian Green played from 2009 to 2013. He was a starter from day one when he joined CSU, played a lot of basketball games, and he was there when they went back-to-back to March Madness berths, too. So he was a great player. I mean, just absolutely lit it up when he played, and now I'm excited to see, of course, year four for him with the UNC Bears, Dorian Green. All right, 11:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We got the Jack Howell Show coming up at noon, the safety for Colorado State. We'll talk to him about the gut-wrenching loss that the Rams faced against UNLV. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Got the game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. It's a Deerfield Strawberry Blonde. This one's a Crabtree Brewing beer here. And, of course, Crabtree is going to be on hand Friday at On the Rocks Liquor for their tasting. So you get a chance to try that out. It's a good one. I've had this one before. Deerfield Strawberry Blonde from Crabtree Brewing. It's going to be available and on hand at On the Rocks Liquor. First event is text line 888-530-0043. A lot to get to today. We got the Jack Howell Show coming up next, and always appreciate Jack for doing the shows, even on, you know, even during a losing week. Now they got to prepare for Air Force. Yeesh, that's gonna be a tough battle. Air Force is just so good at what they do. That run game is lethal. Here's the thing: if you can get up 7-0 somehow, 14-0, 10-0, whatever, then that changes things. Is CSU capable of doing that? We've seen Colorado State, when that offense really seems to roll, kind of some late-game heroics from BFN and company. But that's tough to do against Air Force. They control the clock. That is mission number one. They don't care if they win by 20, if they win by 1. They are going to control the clock. That is goal number one. And if they can play their game exactly how they're supposed to play it, they're tough to beat. I don't see anybody this season, at least looking at the rest of their regular season, beating them. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. NBA night tonight. Denver Nuggets getting set to go at 5:30. It's finally here, the regular season. And How many games are on tonight? Is Nuggets and Lakers are at 5:30, and then is it Suns and Warriors?
Yeah, I think it's just those two.
It's just the two, so it's just a night for four big Western Conference teams.
I am seeing the Nuggets jersey patch has been announced. The new sponsor.
Mickey D's?
No.
Oh.
It is a tech company out of Denver called Ibotta. I-B-O-T-T-A.
Ibotta what? What did you buy? Ibotta what?
Apparently it's some kind of it's a tech company that does earn cash back and save with in-app offers. So there's some kind of company.
It's always like boring stuff.
Yeah.
It's never like Nuggets need to get something cool.
I did see a cool stat for the Nuggets. Going when MPJ, Gordon, Jokic, and Murray play together, they are undefeated at
home
against Western Conference opponents.
Yeah. They're all playing tonight. It's at home. It's against a Western Conference team. So kind of setting up for big time dub tonight. High score tonight, Angel. Who you got? Joker?
MPJ.
You're going MPJ?
Yeah, he's
going
to go for like 50 tonight.
And then I'll do the opposite of you. Oh, and then everybody's going to say, sign him to a 10-year deal. He's the greatest player ever.
He's already on contract. You don't need to sign him.
10-year deal. Sign him beyond what he's doing because he's a free agent at the end of 26, right? So sign him for double that up. Make sure you have him for life. Seriously? You're going MPJ?
Yeah.
Oh.
Have a good night.
Joker. Joker's going off. It's going to be an MVP type of night. It's going to go, I'm going to say 32, 12, and 10 for Nikola Jokic. 32, 12, and 10. 10 assists. That's going to be the stat line for Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray will go off for 24. I'm going to say 24 tonight. MPJ is going to be at 15. Aaron Gordon, 13, 7, and 3. 7 boards. I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen to the podcast, see how close I was. Nuggets tonight. We'll get into more Nuggets-Lakers in third hour. We'll talk to Mike Brohard as well from CSURams.com. Coming up next, the Jack Howell Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We'll be right back.